In James chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says this. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now I tell you what, that's something to dwell on right there. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and obdued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our instruction book that James has given to us. James has hit upon some very tough topics. And if we would take heed to the counsel of James, which is God's expectation, then we'll find ourselves right dab in the middle of the will of God. And today we're going to talk about, I think, a subject that needs to be talked about a great deal. And this is one that I think that it's an applicable lesson regardless of what age you are and what age you are in your faith. As we look at the counsel that James is giving us today regarding our tongue. The previous portion of James' letter challenged us as believers to evidence our faith, to trust God. At all times, to praise God when things are going great and to praise God when things are not going so great, because he's still God. And I keep reminding myself every single day that God is still on his throne. No matter what goes on, no matter, you know, what I have to face or I don't have to face, God is still God. And the other thing that James challenged us to do is to evidence, to show that God has made a change in our lives, that we are to be the proof. We are to be the living proof of the power of God's gospel. To prove that we aren't the same old people that we used to be since the Lord has come into our lives and into our hearts. But we are now saved by his grace. Now, there are no restrictions. Praise the Lord that there are no restrictions on us as believers. He has set us so free. The Bible says we're so free that we can do whatever it is we want to do. But he warns us not to use our liberty as a cloak to do things that we ought not to do. Just saying, you know what, I can do what I want because God's going to forgive me. It is true. But he says, is that what we ought to do? No, it isn't. God forbid. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But God is giving us great counsel. And his counsel is that we ought to evidence our freedom by choosing to serve him and not the world. In the portion of James's letter that we're going to deal with today, we are challenged to focus on fixing ourselves more than on fixing or mandating that what other people do or don't do, that they do things in a certain way. You know, sometimes there's a tendency to want to have people to do things your way. You know, that old saying, it's my way or the highway. God says there's no room for that kind of thinking. It's only His way and His highway. And we are not to seek to mandate and to bring about our own standard of living on other people. And He tells us that we need to guard our tongues and that we need to use what we know of God to lift people up and not to tear them down. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today in a message that I've entitled, Let Go and Let God. Let go and let God. And I want to just share 2 points with you today as we explore this tongue and what God says, how God says we are to guard ourselves and how we are to regard others as we live our lives, this life of faith. First point is that we ought to let God be God in their lives. In other words, we need to let God do His job in the lives of other people. And then secondly, we need to let God be God in our own lives. You know, we learn how little we can control of other people as we read the Word of God. We know that we cannot control our children. You know, if we could control our children, would all of our children be saved and all of our children would be serving the Lord? All of our children would be walking down the straight and the narrow path if we could do that, but we can't. And we can't control our own children and we can't control anybody else's. We can't control any adults. We've got to let God do His job. And that's what God is going to talk to us about today. First of all, let God be God in their lives. In James chapter number 3, one more time, verse number 1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And the beginning of verse 2 says, for in many things we offend all. This is part one of our lesson on the tongue. And James warns us about being too eager to teach or to find fault or condemning others. That's really what this is all about. If you read this verse too quickly, I think you can miss the meaning altogether. He says, my brethren, be not many masters. Don't let everybody want to be a teacher, he says, knowing that the teacher is going to receive the greater condemnation. God inspired James to write that the tongue is powerful. The tongue is very powerful. It can be used to cast judgment and condemnation on others as if we have some type of lordship over them. And God says, that is not our job. And you know what? One of these things is we talk about stress and the stress that we lay upon ourselves. You know, we lay stress upon ourselves as we are trying to change and dictate the lifestyles of other people. And we believe that we can just talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, condemn them, persecute and just pound it into them, and we can make a change. And the Bible says, that's not going to do it. Amen. That's not going to do it. He says, don't be a teacher in that regard. Don't use your tongue in that regard, because it's not going to come to any good point. It's not going to come to any good point. He says, let us not all be eager. He says, you know what? We all want to be the teacher. You know what you're saying? In essence, that I'm always right. That I know what is best for you. I know what is best for me. I know what is best for the community. Everybody needs to listen to me. Otherwise, I'm going to bring about condemnation. I'm just going to be blasting you to everybody. I'm going to be preaching to you about what you're supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. I don't even think that's the place of the pastor. I don't think that's what the pulpit is all about. It's not about me going out into the community and finding your issues and bringing them back and just blasting you from the pulpit. My job is to teach you about the Word of God. My job is to live the Word of God. Amen. As an example. As an example. He says, it's not my job to go out and condemn you. Because if I use the power that I have to condemn you, guess what? The greater condemnation will return upon me. Why is that? Well, the Bible answers the question. Isn't the Word of God great in that God gives you a question and then He gives you the answer? He says, why ought you not to do that? He says in verse number 2, it's simple, for in many things we offend all. In other words, show me a perfect man. Show me a perfect woman. If you can find one, then I'll let them condemn me for all that I do wrong. If I can stand here and condemn you continually, because there is no sin in my life, then amen. But I won't be able to, because in many things we offend all. In other words, you wake up this morning, you forget to praise the Lord for what He's done for you. Guess what? That's a sin. And before I can condemn you, then I got to condemn myself because, Lord, I forgot to pray. Let me tell you, I was putting together my message and I was all into it. And all of a sudden I stopped and I said, Lord, I didn't pray. What am I doing? You know, I mean, that's just, it just hit me. I said, Lord, I didn't even pray and ask you to guide me through this thing. What am I doing? Let me stop. Let me ask you. Let me say, you give me these words, because otherwise it's pointless. It's useless. God says, we can't do it. So He says, we got to guard that tongue. I got to guard it in what I pencil and what I speak to you. You got to guard it in what you say and how you use that tongue as you approach people in your lives, people in your family. Why? He says, because we all stumble. We all stumble. And because we all stumble, God says we got to use that tongue to be compassionate. To be compassionate rather than condemning. And let God be God in the lives of other people. Amen. Let God do His job. Now I want to show you a couple of things that I think support that. Look in Luke chapter number 6. In Luke chapter number 6. That's on page 756 in your pew Bibles. We'll skip down and begin reading at verse number 36. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 36, here's what God says. He is counseling us that mercy goes a lot further than condemnation. Be ye not many masters. Don't be so right that you can't see that people have a genuine need and that you can give them the compassion that God has given to you. Verse number 36 says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Now, we know what God is talking about here. He's talking about we need to not judge people according to our standards so that people will not judge us according to their standard, but there needs to be righteous judgment against the Word of God. He says, condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Can I just stop for a moment? He says, let me tell you something about the man, the woman, the person who wants to be the master, the person who believes that they're always right, that they can use their tongue to tear people down in an effort to try to sort of say that they're trying to build them up. God says, can a blind man lead a blind man? If I cannot see that there are wrong things in my life, that I will one day need the compassion of God, the compassion that other people might be able to show to speak to me about what I've done that I ought not to have done and to show me how I might be corrected in love. He says, they're just blind. And can the blind lead the blind? What's going to happen to them, the Bible says? Well, he says, shall they not both fall into the ditch? Yes, they will. If you're using your tongue for the wrong purpose, you can't help anybody. You'll just lead them astray. He says in verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Let me tell you, he says, you better watch your tongue. And you better let me be God. Let me take care of the condemnation. And you just bring about the mercy. You bring about a little righteous judgment. But when you bring about, use that tongue, he says, to destroy and to not lift them up. He says, there's a beam in your eye that you're missing. He says, either, verse number 42, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. What are you going to use that tongue for? He says, not condemnation, but to bring about good from your own heart. He says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Amen. Where's that tongue? What's coming out? Let God be God in the lives of others. God is not saying that we should have a blind eye to sin, and that's happening around us. That's not what he's saying at all. But what he is saying is that all sin is a sin against him and not against us. You know, and I think that's one thing that helps us. It helps me, at least, in the way I approach sin in other people's lives. That I have to remember that sin is, while it might feel personal, it's really personal, most of all, to God. Because God is the one who wrote the law. God is the one who determined what is and is not sin. And when we sin, though it affects men and mankind, we really sin against God. And we need to treat it that way. And God's going to judge sin where there is no repentance. And we should let him do his job. Amen. We should let him do his job. Amen. And in the meantime, we should evidence the good treasure that is in our hearts. And that we should be able to display the mercy that God has displayed to us. We should do the job that he set before us. And what did God tell us our job was? Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. He said, there's a job for you if you want one. Now look over in Galatians chapter number 6. That's on page 862 if you're following in the Pew Bibles. Now, in Galatians chapter number 6, he talks to us about mercy rather than condemnation. He talks to us about, you know, one of the things that the Bible shares with us, as I've told you, I believe that God opens our eyes, the mystery of this gospel, and shares with us what we're going to face. And one of the things that God shares with us is that there are going to be times when those who are within the body of believers are going to fall. And while it should always break our hearts, it should not catch us completely off guard, because God says sometimes it's going to happen. And we pray that it will never happen to us. The only way that it will not happen to us is that we stay so deeply fixed on the word of God that we pretty much devil proofed ourselves, so that when we start down a pathway, God says, hey, brother, where you going? And when we start down a pathway to the right, God says, hey, sister, where you going? Ought you not to be going down straight down the center, not to the left or to the right? But God tells us that there are some who are going to find themselves in situations where they've fallen away. And it doesn't mean that they're not saved. It doesn't mean that that they cannot repent and be brought back into the family, the body of believers. But God says, what will you do as a believer? Will you use your tongue and tear them down, or you use your tongue and build them up? What will you do? Now, Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1, says this: brethren, and that refers to all the believers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are still in tune with the will and the word of God, restore such a one. And look what he says: in the spirit of meekness. Now, God says that you're going to have to talk to him. You are going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to tell him. You know what that means? That means sometimes when somebody is overtaken in a fault and they tell you what that is, you're going to have to say, let me tell you something. What you did was just downright wrong. It was wrong. You should not have done it, and you should have known that it was wrong. But let me tell you something. God will forgive you. He said that's the spirit of meekness that we got to bring about. We got to say, you know what? God says you can be forgiven. And God says we need to come to that brother, that sister, in a spirit of meekness. And look what the next part says: considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know what he's saying? Nobody is immune to sin. If you think you are, if you think you're such a great a master, a teacher, that you can bring about condemnation, because that can never happen to you. God says you deceive yourself. It could. But by the grace of God, we could be in the same situation as others. When I reflect back on my life, and sometimes I don't like to, I think about the things that I have experienced willingly. And I tell you what, if God had not brought me out of it, where would I be today? Amen. Now, you might not have that testimony, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that I do, but let me tell you, if God had not redirected me, I don't know where I would be today. But praise the Lord for what he's done. He says, and when I sit down, when you sit down with other people, God is calling on us to say, remember where you've been. Remember who you are and remember what I've done for you. And he says, will you do that for somebody else? Will you be meek? Will you be compassionate? Will you love them? Will you love them out rather than to tear them down? He says, otherwise, you're thinking that you're something when you're nothing at all. You're just simply deceiving yourselves. God is not mocked. God is not deceived. Verse number four, he says, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What God is saying here is let every man compare himself. Not to the world. But guess what? He says, compare yourself to Christ. And he says, and when you can use Christ as your example, when you if at some point you could say you measure up to Christ, then he says, then you rejoice in that you are a mirror of God and of his character. But don't compare yourself to other people. Don't do it. He says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, there shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And look what he says here. Oh, if you got to choose between your tongue and reaching out to your fellow believers, he says, and let us not be weary. You know what we have to do in order to not be weary? Sometimes we have to swallow a few words. We have to let a few things go so that we can continue to serve God in the way that God would have us do. He says, and don't be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Don't use your tongue, he says, to tear down the household of faith. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, if you got to say anything to him, God says, lift him up. And then let God be God. Let him deal with forgiveness and repentance. That's not your job. God's job is not up for grabs, and he has a different job for us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be not that person who is quick to condemn others because they're not doing things your way or the way that you interpret the word of God. But instead be quick with compassion and forgiveness as Christ has patterned for us. One more point here and then we'll move on. Look in John chapter 8, page 787. When you think about where condemnation is needed. Or could have been inserted, I could say. And how rather than to insert condemnation, Christ's pattern for us, how instead it would be a better idea to insert a little compassion and lead one into a relationship or into a deeper relationship than to lead one away. In John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, we have a very familiar story. The story of the scribes and the Pharisees who were seeking to trip up Christ. And they bring to him a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. In verse number 1 of John chapter 8 says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now let me tell you what those who were many masters, what they did. They snatched her up and they drug her off to Jesus. They said, this woman needs some public condemnation because she's done some terrible things. And oh, if I could just imagine the things they must have said to her along the way. it would have been to her benefit if Jesus was a short walk away, because if he was a long way away, I'm going to tell you, she must have got sermon after sermon about what she did and how wrong it was and what was coming up and how she was probably going to be stoned and how Christ himself was probably going to throw the very first stone. This man who the people said was the Messiah, he was going to bring it down. The condemnation. Boy, they were ready. They were ready. And they said, now Moses, verse 5, in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him, at her. He who is a master, he who is perfect, he who himself fears no condemnation, you go ahead and throw a stone at her. You kill her, if that be your will. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And here's your pattern. Was she guilty? Yeah. Had she been approached about her adultery? Mm-hmm. Did she know that it was wrong? Mm-hmm. It was as if Christ had said, she's been beat up enough. How about a little compassion? You know what he said? And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. You sorry? You repent? Then you go and you sin no more. You know what the application is? Let God be God. He can deal with repentance. He can deal with those who do not repent. He's God, and you don't have to be. Don't use your tongue. Don't misuse your tongue. Don't misuse your tongue in that regard. I thought of a couple of the verses after I did the bulletin. Look in Proverbs 15. I want to show you that, and then we'll move on. Proverbs 15. It's on page 494 in your pew Bibles. I want to show you one thing about the power of that tongue and how we ought not to misuse it as we try to, and we should not try to take on God's job, but we should let God be God. Let go. Give it over to him. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. We'll read just 1 through 4, and then I want to skip down and read 28. Proverbs 15, 1 through 4, here's what he says. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Amen. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And I tell you what, if you don't believe that God can do his job by himself, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Now skip down to verse number 28, as I think it kind of says everything that I've tried to say in support of this point. And verse number 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Oh, it might look like an opportunity to come down on them. But he says, why don't you study for just a little bit? Stoop down and write on the ground if you need to. And then do like Christ. He says, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things, just shoots it out there. Study it, he says. And then let God do his job. Be not many masters. Don't be throwing around condemnations. For if there's sin in your life, and most of us will have to admit that there is sin in our lives, you will receive a greater condemnation for your sin than that which you have been dishing out. But love people. As God has loved us, guard that tongue. Let God be God in their lives. He's willing. Secondly, let God be God in your life. Now go back to James chapter number 3 again. James chapter number 3. Let's pick up this time at verse number 2. We read the beginning of verse 2. As James says, "For in many things we offend all." In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, maybe before we go too far, let me just say that the God that created everything around us, and that also created us, gave us a mind that's free to think and to do whatever it is we want to do. Good or evil. He created us with a tongue that we could use to either bless Him or to curse Him, or bless others or to curse others. He gave us His expectation. His expectation for us is that we might bless rather than curse. You know, I get kind of excited when I read in God's Word just how much He knows about me, how much He knows about us, and how accurate His Word is, even though it was written so many years ago. And I want you to see how God talks about the tongue and how we need to guard ourselves and how we need to let Him be the God in our lives, how we need to choose to be that. He says in verse 2 again, picking up at regarding the tongue, he says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." The tongue, he says, is a powerful, powerful member of our body. He says, you bridle your tongue, and you'll be able to bridle your whole body. And now now he gives us a description of this powerful weapon. And I tell you what, that's what the tongue is. It's a weapon. He gives us a description of this powerful weapon that we wield about, or that we could wield about. And he evidences that we need to allow Him to control that small but powerful weapon, our tongue. Now let me show you what he says. He says, so if you can, if any man never offends in word, he says, guess what? The same as a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. Is there anybody like that? No. Now let me show you what he says. Verse 3, he says, behold, as he gives us a description of this, of the power of this tongue, he uses some pretty good examples that I think for me just kind of said, oh wow, that's the power of my tongue, and that's what it can do to not only my body, but to my testimony. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, verse 3, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He says, that they may obey us. In other words, without that bit in the horse's mouth, the horse is going to do what the horse wants to do. So he says here, he says, they're not going to obey us without restraints. Likewise, we are to allow God to be that restraint that stops this tongue from just lashing out. He says, we ought to study before we answer. If you get what God is saying, he says, study before you answer. He says, let it be as if God has bridled your tongue, that God has put a bit into your mouth. And that bit is his word that says, hold off. Can you be merciful? Can you be compassionate rather than condemning? Hold off. Hold off, he says. Now he also, he says, all right, not only is it similar to what happens with a horse, but then he goes on in verse number 4, he says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know what? No matter how big the boat is, no matter how great the ship is, guess what? The helm is so much smaller, and whichever way that helm is turned is the way that that ship is going to turn. No matter how fierce the waters, no matter how calm the waters, the helm is going to dictate which way it goes. God is saying, that's what your tongue is like. Man. Verse 5, he says, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. In other words, your tongue is small. When you think about the relationship of your whole body, your tongue is very small. But he says, your tongue can do great things. It can do great things. He says, and what kind of things can it do? He says, oh, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now you think about what God is saying here. He's saying, if you want a big fire, guess what you start with? You start with a small spark. Amen. He says, you want a great fire. You don't put a great fire on it. He says, that's what the tongue is like. He says, a tongue can set it can just set off a great big fire. And thing can just burn up. He says, and the tongue is a fire, verse number 6. He says, it is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. It's a world of sin. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. He said, it can change who you are. It can change your testimony, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue is fire. It's a wildfire, a world of sin. So powerful that it can steer the body in other directions like the helm of a ship. God goes on to say, let me tell you something. He says, man has come a long way. God put man at the top of the food chain. He's put man at the top of the food chain, and he's given us dominion over all things. And he says in verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. He says, we have overpowered some things that ought to have killed us. We have captured things that in given different situations that would have killed us. He said, but we have been able to tame them and put them in a place where we can go in and commune with them. He said, but in all that you have been able to tame, he says, but the tongue can no man tame. He says, not on your own, you can't. Not on your own, you can't. It is an unruly evil. And get this, he says, it's full of a deadly poison. It requires a bridle. It requires a bit. It's got to be taught to obey. It's got to be taught to obey. And we got to let him be the Lord of our lives and thereby change our direction each and every day. Not just for one day, not just for Sunday, but every day. He says, because this is what it looks like without him. He says, verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or after the image of God. That's what we were talking about earlier, isn't it? You know, that there are people throughout this country who are rejoicing over the death of one man. And what we ought to be rejoicing over instead is if one man comes to know Christ. He says, these are his children. They were made in his image. And the same God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, wants us to exhibit the same compassion. Amen. One for another. Amen. Even for evil people. He says, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed the blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You know what? That tongue is so powerful that we cannot tame it alone. But God is going to hold us accountable for the very words that we speak. We got to let him be the Lord of our lives. Let him be that bit that holds us back. He says, otherwise we will be accountable for every word. I want to show you a couple other things, and I'm almost done there. Look at Matthew chapter 12, page 713 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter number 12. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. God says we're going to be held accountable for all these words that we speak. So we need to be careful how we use that tongue. We need to allow him to control this tongue and what we spew out of our mouths. In Matthew 12, beginning at verse number 31, he says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Let him be God. He will take care of it. Those who repent, he will forgive. He says, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Why is that? Because people who speak out against the Holy Ghost, their hearts are hard and they don't want to repent. He says, those who will not repent will have to deal with the words that they have spoken. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Verse 32, he says, "And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, let me be God. Let me be God in your life and get to know me. Fill your heart with me so that what is in the well, what comes out in the bucket, is going to be words that will glorify God.
Amen.
He says, out of the heart is where the words that we speak come from. He says, a good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I tell you what, that's enough to make you guard your tongue. He says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified or set free, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We gotta allow God to tame our tongue in our lives. Let him be God. Let go and let him do it. It's his job and he wants to do it. When David was speaking in Psalm 32, flip over there, page 440. When David was speaking in Psalm 32, he was praying and praying to God and praising God for what he had done in his life. He was asking God for direction, asking God for leadership. And in Psalm 32, God answered David. And David recorded God's answer for our education and our learning. In verse number 7 of Psalm 32, and I encourage you to read the whole thing. It's a very short psalm. But in Psalm 32, verse 7, here's what David said to God. He says, "Thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And here's God's answer. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." He says, don't be like that. He says, don't be like the horse that will only come if it has a bit or a bridle. Don't be a bit or a bridle. Don't be like the horse who's stubborn and has no understanding. But he says, let God be the leader in your life and follow after him. But come willingly to the Lord as a wise man. James 3 verse 13 says this. I'll just read it to you. And then I'd like for you to look in Hebrews chapter 4. That's on page 885 in your pew Bibles. But James chapter 3 verse 13 says this. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." You know what I think God is saying? Who is truly faithful? A wise man who trusts and relies on God. Who is endued with knowledge, or who understands the word of God among you? He said, if there be such a one, let him show it out of a good conversation or out of good behavior, his works, not with condemnation or bragging, but with humility, so that others might see Christ in him or in her. If we are to let go and let God, then we have to do things, everything, God's way. Let's not be as the horse or as a mule and hard to understand, but let us yield to the piercing power of the Word of God. We'll close out here in Hebrews chapter 4. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 12. God says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "For the Word of God is quick." In other words, he's capable. If we'll just let go and let him do his job, he says the word of God is quick. Oh, and it's powerful. More powerful than you and I. More powerful than our tongue. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than anything we can dish out. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He says, give yourself over to the power of our God. Let his word divide and separate and make you right in his eyes. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or not known in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I think this supports where we were going before. We just let God do his job. That God sees it all. He sees the good and the evil. He sees repentance and a lack of repentance. He sees what's happening in their lives and he sees what's happening in your life. But God says, don't use your tongue. Don't misuse your tongue to try to do my job. Verse 14, he says, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. Just as we cited examples of his temptation, he was tempted to speak and to lash out. But never in sin did he do so. And because he didn't, he gave us the power to follow in his footsteps. He says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we are tempted to use our tongues as weapons, God gives us grace when we ask him so that we are able to use it to bless others and say, let us study before we speak. Let us be merciful and compassionate rather than condemning and harsh, because our harsh words will only stir up wrath and not lead people to our Savior. Let's pray. Father, for your goodness and your grace, for the wisdom of your words, we're thankful today. Lord, I pray that we might truly understand this weapon that you've installed, the weapon of the tongue. I pray, Father, that we might study the words that we speak and we might understand the accountability that you've given to each one of us for every word that we speak. I pray, Lord, that we might seek to be merciful and compassionate toward those who are in need, those who are fallen and or have been overtaken in a fault, those, Father, who have found themselves wayward and outside of your will. I pray that we might follow your example to be the heart and the mind and the hands and the feet of our Savior, and that we might do all that we can to lead others back into a solid relationship with you. Father, we pray for your peace to rest in our lives. We pray for your direction, Father, to lead us to do all that we can to bring glory to your precious name. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.